With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, we're back at it again, aren't we? Jester, it feels like we never left. And I know we did.
Yeah, I don't remember this at all.
I mean, I walked in. I thought PJ Elliott was going to be here. I even said, "What's up, PJ?" Because your back was turned to me and I wasn't really looking and I was half asleep. And it was not PJ.
You got the other white meat.
That's a good one. That's a good zing. Oh, PJ playing hooky today. But Jim Jester is back, baby.
Loving every minute of it.
Yeah. Yeah, aren't you excited to see me again? We left off at 1:30 yesterday saying, I have no idea what the hell I'm going to talk about tomorrow. And here I am. It's tomorrow. Oh, boy. Well, anyway, good morning, everyone. Nice to have you aboard with us on this Sunday. We're with you until noon. Flying solo today, but again, Mr. Jester across the way on the other side of the glass. So make sure you say hello to him and make sure you give us a call at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. That's your toll-free two-way sports talk telephone number. This is officially the period, you know, even like up until like, well, next Sunday when the Super Bowl hits, and then it'll die out again, where you see sports talk show radio hosts and really columnists take vacation or literally start pulling their hair out. It's like this in mid-July. Because we don't know what to talk about. If you do a show every day, 5 days a week, 6 days a week, six out of seven, 7 out of 8 days, like, you bore yourself because there ain't nothing juicy going on unless somebody makes it easy for you. Which nobody has. Nobody has, at least right this moment. So there's a lot of stuff, but there isn't that, again, that juicy, juicy apple that you could just chew into. We all know Antonio Brown's a dum-dum. I mean, some people are going to say CTE. Okay. I mean, listen, I'm not a doctor. I'm not trying to be snarky. I'm not trying to be a jerk. I just can't blame everything on CTE. I just can't. I just can't. I'm sorry. That might be insensitive. That might turn out to be, like, I know Aaron Hernandez had, like, one of the worst cases of CTE at a man his age when he committed suicide. I got it. I understand it. It doesn't, to me, excuse everything that a person does. It might be a reason. It doesn't excuse it. And Antonio Brown has always been, well, maybe not always, but like when he first cracked into the league, I don't remember all this stuff. But the first time I remember it, like hearing about Antonio Brown just being a real, real, real strange bird, and that is the nicest way I can say it, was when he filmed live in the Kansas City Chiefs or in the Steelers locker room after beating Kansas City in the playoffs at Arrowhead, Mike Tomlin's speech. You know, and guys are naked and, you know, whatever. And that's a private moment. That's the first time I remember Antonio Brown being weird. And that was weird and unprofessional. There was nothing harmful about that. Now we're talking about stuff that is harming people. Alleged stuff. Right? You have grand larceny burglary. You have, what was the other charge? I'm trying to remember the exact term. A felony charge of burglary and a battery charge. That's what it was. What, I mean, what's next? Like, I don't care what happened out in front of his house. Makes no difference to me. I've been enraged at people, especially on the road. I mean, I really, 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 really have a hard time controlling my frustration and anger when idiots like you guys, no offense, that are out there now, cut me off because you think you're the only person on the road. And you don't care about anybody but you. You know who you are. So I have a really hard, but I do. Now maybe I won't one day and maybe it'll catch up to me. I don't know. But I do. 46 years of living on this life, on this earth, never been arrested. Never even been close. I mean, Antonio Brown has gone from unprofessional and wackadoo and, oh, by the way, maybe the best receiver in football to a guy who's getting arrested, charged, or thrown in jail, or divorced from somebody, or accused of something every third day. It's incredible. It's incredible. And I think it's to a point now where people still pay attention to it because it's all over the place on TMZ and ESPN and all that. And people still talk about, wow, you know, Antonio Brown, I mean, maybe he can come back into the NFL. Didn't he work out for the New Orleans Saints, I believe it was, late in the regular season? Like maybe the last week of the regular season? You think Antonio Brown is coming back to the NFL anytime soon? I mean, as dumb as Roger Goodell is, and he is dumber than dirt, the league is filled with a bunch of absolute idiots. That is the NFL true and true. I mean, they have pulled the wool over everyone's eyes. They are a bunch of dum-dums. They are not in any way, shape, or form going to allow Antonio Brown back into their league anytime soon and maybe forever. I mean, they just don't care about the talent in this particular case. Been given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, now facing all sorts of legal issues. Get out of here. Go away. And yet, I bring that up because that's one of the hot stories that were out there in this lull period between the conference championship games last Sunday, Super Bowl 54 this Sunday, from an NFL perspective. And yet a guy like Eli Manning retires on Friday, which is typically a news dump type of day. Kind of surprised that they did it on Friday. They did it early enough, I guess, where it wasn't a total news dump. But a guy like Eli Manning, right, who plays 16 years in the NFL, plays quarterback for the New York Giants, wins two epic Super Bowls, beats Tom Brady, beats Bill Belichick, two unbelievable wins. You know, I don't want to say pedestrian regular season career. That's not fair. But a somewhat up and down, I guess, is the most fair thing to do and say, regular season career. And yet he retires on Friday, again, with two epic Super Bowl wins, beating the team of the generation both times, the coach of the generation, the quarterback of the generation. And almost nobody even, like, bats an eyelash. It's like, oh, okay, Eli retired. Yeah, see ya. Don't let the door hit you in the ass. Thank God, because Eli, you looked weird in all those memes and all those GIFs. But Antonio Brown, oh. We could celebrate him. We could talk about him. That's salacious. It's just amazing how, like, the media kind of, you know, and TMZ is the media, and ESPN certainly is the media, and we are the media as well, how we shape a message of what's important and what's not. You know what's important this week? Not that there is no games from an NFL perspective. Not that there are no huge, juicy storylines this week, meaning the week leading up to Super Bowl 54 week. But it was more about dopey Antonio Brown, more about that Kareem Hunt guy who can't stop getting arrested or charged or suspended or beating up people, whether he's with the Chiefs or whether he's with the Browns. Wonder if he's thinking, while he's driving around with marijuana and getting pulled over for speeding, I wonder if he's thinking, man, boy, did I let this really unravel on me. Now I got to split time with Nick Chubb and my former team that I was with until late last year is in the Super Bowl, for God's sakes. Boy, I could be this far away from a Super Bowl ring. So you got two dum-dums in Antonio Brown and Kareem Hunt, who can't seem to stay out of trouble. And yet we talk about them more than we talk about whether you think Eli Manning is a good quarterback or not. It's inconsequential. I mean, you can have the debate, as I did with Hoffman on Friday. And trust me, having any kind of debate with Hoffman is tough. Not easy. Eli Manning is a Hall of Fame worthy quarterback. But he deserves discussion. His merits, the way he went about it, deserves more than just a eye roll, as opposed to two dum-dums like Antonio Brown and Kareem Hunt. Anybody that's paying attention to them, and I'm bringing them up, so I am paying attention to them. But anybody that's paying attention to them more than Eli Manning, more than a great Super Bowl coming up, even though it's 9 days, or now it's 7 days away. Anybody that's doing that is doing it wrong. You got to get your priorities in order. We shouldn't celebrate dum-dums, whether it's CTE related or not. I'm not blaming CTE for everything, because that's what people say. Oh, it's CTE because he got a concussion. Maybe it is. I don't know. But I'm sorry, that's not the ultimate elixir. Somebody goes out and commits a murder, we don't excuse the murder all the time, right? We don't excuse what might be going on in their head all the time. There's a lot of different steps that have to go into and dealing with that type of situation. I'm not saying they committed murder, but I'm just using it as an example. All right, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. I'm going to come back and talk about Eli Manning's best game that I saw him play. And I'd like, if you're out there, if you're a Giant fan, if you're a Redskin fan, or if you're a Cowboy fan or an Eagle fan or whatever, for you to chime in on the best game you saw Eli Manning play. I'll explain more in a moment right here on The Fan. Good to have you with us here on a Sunday morning, a week away from Super Bowl 54. We'll get into some of the prop bets. I was going to do the prop bets earlier today, but then I heard on the way in the PFT guys, the Florio and whatever that other guy is. I don't even know why he's so popular. I have no idea. I honestly have no idea. Barstool Big Cat, whatever his name is. I
ran the show and I have no idea.
I don't do Barstools or Big Cats, so sorry. I know who Florio is. I do not really know anything about the other guys. So, but he's popular. I see him all over the place. So, Eli Manning retires after 16 seasons and two Super Bowls. And of course, he played against the Redskins 29 times in his career. And the Giants, not Eli. The Giants, with Eli Manning, were 19-10 against the Redskins. Now, that shouldn't surprise you, right? The Redskins have largely stunk for a large portion of the last 28 years. I mean, when they've been good, they've been slightly above mediocre, right? Or average. When they've been bad, they've been epically bad. But even though the Giants, and again, it's important to say the Giants and Eli Manning, because it's not Eli Manning. Everybody wants to make the Super Bowl out to be Patrick Mahomes versus Jimmy Graham. No. Listen, I totally understand we're going to get into this as well. Patrick Mahomes is a stud. He's clearly the best player on the field on either team. Clearly. It's not Patrick Mahomes versus the San Francisco 49ers. It's the Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes can't win diddly squat without Travis Kelce, without Tyreek Hill, without Mecole Hardman, without Damian Williams, without Mitchell Schwartz, without Andy Reid, without Eric Bieniemy, without a pretty decent defense, without Steve Spe- you get my point. It's the New York Giants and Eli Manning were 19-10 against the Redskins, who, again, have largely stunk over the last 28 years. And when they haven't stunk, they've been a whimper over mediocre. I mean, they just have, right? I'm not making that up. What, they have 10-win seasons in the last 28 years and nothing above that? I think that's the case. So you would expect right there to be all of these epic moments from Eli Manning over the Redskins, especially, again, with the Redskins having lost 19 out of 29 times to the Giants and Eli when Eli played. I mean, obviously, he didn't play in week 4 this year. He didn't play in week 16 when Daniel Jones was playing, right? So those are two more wins for the Giants, if you want to look at it that way. But we can't count that, right? That's just when Eli played against the Giants. And they were 19-10. He threw 33 touchdowns, 27 interceptions, but only a 58% completion rate. Those are not good numbers in today's day and age. I mean, quite honestly, like, I know Jameis Winston had 30 and 30 or 31 and 31. It doesn't even matter. I mean, way too many interceptions. Everyone knows it. It doesn't matter how many yards he threw for. It doesn't matter how many touchdowns, passes he had. He threw for way too many interceptions, right? Well, Eli, I mean, it wasn't 1-1, so we'll say that. But 33-27 is not a huge divide, not a huge gap. 33-27 in terms of touchdowns to interceptions. And a 58% completion rate is awful, especially in today's NFL. And I realize that the rules kind of changed along with Eli's career. But here's the bottom line. And this is why you can't judge quarterbacks just by wins and losses. Eli wasn't very good against the Redskins. Was he okay? Yeah. Slightly above okay? Yeah. He wasn't very good. And quite honestly, that's the story of his regular season career. A little bit above okay? Above average? Sure. You want to say fine? Okay. You want to say good? I think that's a stretch. I have different measurements, but I could see how you could make an argument for good. You want to say great? No, thanks. But he was great when it mattered the most. The Redskins had his number at times, but the Redskins never played him in the playoffs. Eli built a Hall of Fame legacy and will very, 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 very likely make it into the Hall of Fame because of his brother, his name and what he did in those two January into February runs. He won two Super Bowls. He beat Tom Brady and Bill Belichick twice. He beat the only team that had a chance to be undefeated since the 72 Dolphins. They were moments away from doing that. Some people say the greatest team ever. Right? So that has led us to the question of, is Eli a Hall of Famer? Again, I think he'll get in. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. Because even though I put more emphasis on performance in the playoffs than some others, say like Grant and Danny, who don't seem to count it at all, I can't ignore how average, how mediocre, how above average, maybe, he was during the regular season. And you look at his record, and again, record is not just on the quarterback. You look at his quote-unquote record, it was 500. He doesn't have 60,000 passing yards. He's got a ton of interceptions. Yet the greatest game I saw him play, and I saw him play 13 times in person. I mean, obviously, the two Super Bowls I saw on TV, those were the two greatest games of his career. The greatest game I saw him play in person was right here at FedEx Field. We'll wrap up this part of the show telling you that story next, and also maybe the worst game I saw him play. I just think it's important to kind of talk about these guys, even though it might not be as interesting as talking about dum-dums like Kareem Hunt and Antonio Brown. I think it's more interesting to talk about these guys who are at least interesting and good for the game. And Eli was far from perfect on and off the field. I'll explain that story in just a little bit as well on The Fan. Somebody named Michael Jester tweeted me and said, I was no better than Trump. You are a mean, loudmouth, name-calling nobody.
Why? What'd you say?
Well, I guess because I've called Antonio Brown and Kareem Hunt, who have been arrested more times in the last week than I've ever been arrested, and 95% of America has ever been arrested. They've been more arrested more times in the last week than again, 95% of Americans, certainly, than I have, and I assume you have. I call them a couple of dum-dums.
So dum-dums equals the hatred for our president.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I love Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter is a cesspool of hell.
It certainly is.
I mean, to be perfectly honest with you. It is. I get the comparison that a lot of people politically don't like, and I don't like it, when Donald Trump insults other people, right? And all that. He belittles them. He's done it to people with special needs, which I can't stand. You know, I don't support Donald Trump. I'm not trying to turn this into a political thing at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I am, when I, first of all, I have 3 or 4 hours a day to fill. Okay.
Right.
That's number one. Always keep that in mind. You're not going to like everything I have to say. I'm not going to like everything I say. Okay. But if I sit here and say, well, we don't know about Antonio Brown and Kareem Hunt. They might be really good, fine gentlemen. They're just in bad luck. How freaking ridiculous and absurd would that be?
So the thing to make Mr. Michael happy would be for you to come on and say, oh, they got arrested. It'll probably be good for their career, though.
Yeah,
good move.
Right.
Awesome, guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
High five.
Just keep it going, guys. Keep it up. Good job, fellas. Let's sign you. You know, like the Redskins should go out and sign Kareem Hunt and Antonio Brown tomorrow.
The fan base would go crazy.
Right? I mean, it would be certainly a polarizing addition, I can tell you that much. It would certainly make for some clicks and some good ratings. But the point of the matter is, I'm not, this is not Donald Trump just staying with the politics for 1 second, belittling people with special needs or belittling another politician that he has great philosophical divide with, right?
Right.
Just stay with me. I'm not trying to make this political. I'm just trying to respond to a criticism that I got from this guy who was listening, who didn't apparently like that. I mean, specifically say it, but he called me a mean, loudmouth, name-calling nobody. Well, sir, I mean, I would say this. I mean, I'm a little bit more than a mean, name-calling nobody. I mean, I'm on the radio. I have 6 jobs. People like me. I have 28,000 followers on Twitter, and you have 266. You know, so I mean, I'm somebody. I don't know what else I am, but I'm somebody.
You're a mean name calling slightly somebody.
Yeah, exactly. No, you forgot loudmouth.
That's right. Sorry,
you forgot loudmouth. So, but here's the thing: Antonio Brown has physically hurt people. Right? He has physically hurt people. Including himself. He's been fired from 3 different teams in the last year. He is facing charges of felony burglary and battery. Kareem Hunt beat up women, lied about it, somehow didn't get arrested for it, somehow didn't get charged for it, then kept his job with the Kansas City Chiefs, who then found out, oh, you lied to us? There's more? Your ass is gone. Then got suspended for 8 games by the NFL. And now, just to put icing on the cake, while his former team is in the Super Bowl, and he should be in the Super Bowl if he wasn't such a dum-dum, now he's driving around with pot and speeding, being a menace to society, and getting arrested again.
I would need to get high, too, if I derailed my career the way that they have.
Exactly. But I'm Donald Trump calling out Nancy Pelosi or whatever her name is. I don't even know what her name is.
Yeah, I think that's right. But
I think she's like a Democrat or something. I have no idea. I don't care. No, she makes no difference in my world.
Nope.
None at all. But the point of the matter is I'm Donald Trump because I belittled poor old Antonio Brown and Kareem Hunt. Okay.
That's the only reason it's a story, because people love to kick people while they're down. That, or they just can't believe how one person can be so talented and just do the world's dumbest things to ruin the talent that they've been given.
I don't love to kick people when they're down.
No, it's not fun.
I mean, what you just said there, it's you're the best receiver in the game.
Right.
I mean, it's not Odell Beckham, who's another clown. You're the best receiver in the game, for God's sakes, for the love of humanity. And you cannot stop beating people up, getting arrested, wearing ankle bracelets, getting fired from teams, finding helmets, creating your own reality. Shut up. Go away.
Well, an ankle bracelet is just a fashion statement.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. But I'm the wrong guy. I'm wrong. And also because, you know, I made a comparison to, you know, everybody talking about and caring about Antonio Brown and Kareem Hunt as opposed to Eli Manning. I'm the bad guy. All right, anyway, I'm not going to waste any more time on that guy. But I had to bring it up because it infuriated me. And things that infuriate me are generally good for the radio show. Real quickly, before we hit the timeout, the best game I saw Eli Manning play, Week 4, 2014, at FedEx Field. September the 25th, Jay Gruden's 4th game as head coach of the Washington Redskins. The Redskins were 1-2 going into the game. Thursday night football, they were 1-3 coming out of the game. They lost 45-14. It was the who the bleep is Larry Donnell game. Remember that guy who caught 9 career touchdown passes, 3 of them that night?
I do remember that.
Remember that the Giants scored 28 of their 45 points on field possessions, on drives, I guess, of 24 yards, 35 yards, 22 yards, and 46 yards. 28 of the 45. Yet Jim Haslett, the worst defensive coordinator in the history of mankind, was responsible for all 45 of those points. Now, I love Kirk Cousins, but that was probably the worst game Kirk Cousins has ever played. Four interceptions, a fumble lost. I mean, you can't even try to win, never mind compete. I mean, Kirk has bounced back very nicely. But that was the best game I saw Eli Manning play in person because, A, they scored 45 points. B, it's not his fault that they had short fields to work with. He executed perfectly and found, you know, a nondescript schlub in Larry Donnell for three touchdowns inside the red zone. He passed for 300 yards. And more importantly, he was 28 of 39, which very accurate, which is not Eli Manning overall. Eli Manning, not very accurate in his career by relative standards. Was intercepted once. That was the best game I ever saw him play in the 13 times I saw him play live in person. The worst game I saw him play, and there were a couple, but probably it was September the 11th, 2011, 10 years after that terrible tragedy in New York and Washington. Ryan Kerrigan pick six interception in his career debut. Eli was harassed. Barry Cofield was new to the Redskins that year. He had come over from the Giants. Remember that was out of the lockout. So the Redskins signed like a flurry of defensive free agents. And oh, what do you know? Their defense was actually pretty good that year with no help from the offense. They signed Kerrigan. They drafted Jarvis Jenkins, who they lost immediately. They signed like Josh Wilson, Barry Cofield, and Stephen Bowen. And their defense was actually good. You know, I mean, like you give a defensive coordinator ingredients to cook with, and he's going to cook a decent meal. They weren't great, but they were pretty good. And that was probably the worst game I saw Eli Manning play in person. And I have to dig real deep to think of another one. I'm sure there was another contender. Because, again, Eli Manning against the Redskins, by and large, was meh, average, mediocre, which is basically how his regular season career was. But he is the ultimate, just wrapping this up, he is the ultimate example of why when he gets into the Hall of Fame, and I have no doubt that he will, I wouldn't vote him in, but he will get in. He's the ultimate example of how if you perform when the stage is the brightest, it doesn't really matter what you do during the regular season. It doesn't really matter. You will get in, and you will be a Hall of Famer, especially if you're at the quarterback position, and especially if you were at it for more than, you know, a year or two, or three or four. You win two Super Bowls. As Hoffman said the other night, you rewrite NFL history. You beat the best coach and the best quarterback of this generation and the best organization of this generation two times. You're going to get in, period. It's that simple. It's not even a debate. I think it should be a debate, but it's not a debate. Eli Manning's going to be a Hall of Famer 5, 6, 7 years from now, whenever it is. The doors of Canton are opening to Eli Manning, period. It's, again, not even a debate. All right, when we come back, you know what isn't a debate as well? Alex Ovechkin. He's really good. How good can he be? The great one says he can be the greatest one. We'll have that next. All right, good to have you with us. Last couple of minutes of this hour. We'll have a CBS Sports update for you coming up at the top of the hour. Jester, I screwed up. I forgot to ask you what time I needed to be out for that, so I apologize.
That's okay. I'll make it work.
Okay. You're the man. You're the man. How can I be the man when you're the man? You're the man. I miss Scott Farrell. Always made my nights interesting. Weirdly interesting. When you drive home late at night, you know, you just, you know, you need a little something different.
That's definitely what that is.
It's definitely different. There's no doubt about that. Definitely different. So anyway, Where was I going with this? Oh, so Alex Ovechkin, right, did not participate in the NHL All-Star game. Look, he's going to be out of action tomorrow night when the Capitals return to action in Montreal, right here on The Fan. The next time you'll see him is Wednesday night against the Nashville Predators at Capital One Arena. I'm happier that he's missing a road game than a home game. That's just me. Last year he missed the home game. I wouldn't skip him in a home game. Just, you know, your fans pay a lot of money to come see him play and see you play. Alex Ovechkin's the best player in the game, you know, whatever. So I don't care as much about this. Look, it's not like I cared about it last year because he had just won a Stanley Cup. I got the reason why they skipped. To do it this year is a little less understandable, but he's doing it for the goal of what's best for him and his team, which is all we really care about. The NHL All-Star Game is last night. I love the NHL. Love the NHL. I turned it on as David Pastrnak was winning the MVP. I kind of forgot about it, to be honest with you. I kind of forgot about it. You know, I just did. I needed a break. I mean, honestly, there's only so much sports I can handle. But Ovechkin not being there at the All-Star game, at the All-Star weekend, at the skills competition, it hurts the NHL. There's no denying that. It's not good for the league. That's why the league suspends players that choose to miss the All-Star game. You know, and if you're injured, you're going to miss the time anyway. But if you're available to play for your team, you should be available to play for the league and for the league's corporate partners and NBC. The league has enough of an uphill climb. But the bottom line is this. Ovechkin will miss tomorrow night in Montreal. Even if the Capitals lose, whatever. They have the best record or best points total in the NHL. No big deal. Right? Maybe it'll come back and haunt them. I don't know. I don't care enough. And I love hockey. And, of course, they're going to struggle without Ovechkin. But maybe they win. That's neither here nor there. What is important is even without Ovechkin there, even with Ovechkin on a complete bender, 8 goals in 3 games, 8 goals away from .700, the 8th player in history to cross that barrier. Think about the number symmetry. He wears number 8, the great 8. He's 8 goals away from .700. He'll become the 8th player in NHL history to cross over .700. Would be cool if it was 800, but you get my point. When he does it, right? He's bypassing all sorts of guys. Mario Lemieux, Steve Yzerman. So naturally, when Wayne Gretzky shows up Friday in St. Louis for the All-Star game, because he's like an honorary something or other, and he's the greatest goal scorer of our generation, he's asked, hey, Wayne, you think that Ovi guy has a legitimate chance of passing you at .692 for your .894, the all-time goal-scoring mark in career history in the NHL? 202 goals away. And he says, quote, he has a real legitimate chance. It's nothing crazy, right? I mean, it's not absurd to think that he does, but that's Wayne Gretzky saying that he does, a real legitimate chance. That's the greatest goal scorer of all time, the greatest hockey player of all time, the most underrated, dominant player of all time. Underrated because the media just kicks the crap out of the NHL and ignores it, and because he played half of his career in Edmonton. That's Wayne freaking Gretzky. Are we at a point now where we're taking for granted how good Alex Ovechkin is? I don't want to know, will he get there? That's impossible to predict. I hope he will. I would love for that to happen. I would love to be in attendance. I have no idea if it'll happen, when it'll be, how it'll be. That's four years at least down the road. I mean, it's very hard to think that he'll get there. But are we taking Alex Ovechkin for granted, how good he is? I know at one point I did. I don't any longer. I'll explain that, and hopefully you'll join us at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067, right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.